بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكل عبادي يقول التي هي أحسن. In speaking, choose the right words in an appropriate manner. Polite, respect. إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم. Shaitan is passionate about inciting trouble. So he will incite you to use one word. And when that word is used, then the next person gets spurred up. When he gets spurred up, then he says something or he does something. Then one thing leads to the other, and there's a war, there's a battle. But when you inspect the whole situation, it was one word that was used incorrectly. So that's the work of Shaitan. He likes to see trouble. From the reports that we hear from our elders, and Shaitan takes a keen interest in two things. Something I heard from Al-Mufizad Rahmatullah Ali, and some things from Hazaji Rahmatullah Ali. So Shaitan takes a very keen interest in these two things. One is a person that is leaving his house to learn deen, understand deen, to better himself. Learning doesn't only mean coming to a madrasa, but learning also means to learn to apply. I learned the word, now I learn the application. So learning the word is one obligation, and learning how to apply it to yourself is another obligation. In Tajweed, one obligation is to learn the makhraj, the pronunciation, right? And then the sifat that goes with it. If you only learned the pronunciation, but you didn't learn the other laws, then it's incomplete. And you only learned izhar, ikhfa, etc., but you didn't learn the pronunciation, then it was incomplete. After you have learned the both, then you have to learn to apply the both. So if someone has learned the sifat and the makhraj, but he hasn't gone under an expert's supervision, so he will not be able to get the pronunciation right, the recitation right. You have to learn pronunciation, you have to learn the laws that apply in the recitation, and then recite under the guidance of an expert. Not getting complete. So learning under the guidance of an expert also will be an obligation. Like learning the law is an obligation, then learning to apply the law is also an obligation. So the same will apply to knowledge, right? One is you got the word, right? Half an obligation. Now, after you've got that, is it not an obligation to learn how to apply it? How does it affect your life? How do you apply it? What has happened today is that we attend madrasas, etc., and we learn the word. And once we have grasped the word, we feel that we have completed. Whereas it's just part of the obligation. Part of the obligation is to learn it. And the other part of the obligation is, have I applied it to myself? I've learned, for example, that I mustn't listen to the wrong things, right? So I know it is not right. But I go on listening to ghibat. I will listen to music. I will listen to slander, carrying tales. I will take an enjoyment in that. I will take an enjoyment in that. And now that's become the order of the day. We'll go up to Islamic sites to see what is the latest entertainment. Who's smashing who and who's hitting who. So it is not about learning how to improve myself, my understanding of deen and my application of deen, but who's giving the shots and who's receiving the shots. That's what I want to do. اتخذوا دينكم هزوا ولعبا. They made their deen a pastime and a mockery. So it is not about deen, learning and applying, but it's about an entertainment. So we're talking of shaitan, and what shaitan takes an interest, what is he passionate about? And I said that learning and then applying, learning and then applying. And like we got so many verses in the Quran Sharif, ما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب. It's just the life of this world is play and pastime. It's a play and pastime. So you learned it about it. But then you hankering after the world, still that zeal, that enthusiasm, that ambition for more and more and more, you know. So have you got the verse properly? Now, when you don't have that verse, now you need to learn to apply it. And then you have to go to someone that you can apply it. Otherwise, you haven't practiced this word. You haven't practiced this verse. And the irony will be, after some time, then you will begin to justify what you're doing. You're doing the wrong, then now you learn to justify. Well, Sulaiman alayhi salam had so much of wealth. Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf had so much of wealth. Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu had so much of wealth. So what say if I hanker and run after the wealth? He also had wealth. So what is wrong if I also run after it? What's wrong? Whereas there's a difference. They controlled the wealth. They manipulated the wealth. And we are manipulated by wealth. They drove the wealth. And we are driven by wealth. So it's a different thing. The example of it is the example of a snake catcher. You know, I sit in the office sometimes, but you learn about the whole world. People give you the experience that here I did this and that. Whatever. So one person came in and he's speaking about a snake catcher. So there was a, when they out of hibernating now they start appearing, right? And you can appear in some odd, awkward places. So one person heard some sound in the ceiling, they will check up. They saw a big mama about 3 meters thick. Now, first time he's seen something like this. So it's exciting now. What's going to happen now? What? So you know, he doesn't know how to handle the thing. So I asked him, what you did now? Because the story was exciting. So I said, what did you do? He said, I phoned this snake catcher. So he came. I'm watching his dream. So it took him about 3 hours. Slow, very slow movement, gentle, discreet, subtle movement until he caught his head. Caught his head, now it's useless. So then, whatever he did, and he took about 2,000-3,000 from me and he sold it to the park for about 10,000. So, both sides he. Mere kaam ki cheez nahi hai. It is not my, I can't do anything, any business with it. They know about it, it's their line, so he made a profit. By me, made a profit. By the one he sold it to, he made a profit. Now, that was the work of a snake catcher. So, he's an expert in the game. If I am not trained, I don't know what it is. Say, if he could do it, why can't I do it? What will happen? Now I'll get bitten, you see. So, one is the one that is driving the wealth, and the other is the one that is driven by wealth. You can see. So, outwardly, that it would appear that both got wealth. He's got wealth, he's got wealth. He's got the material, he's got the material. But you see, the drive here is different, and the drive there is different. The drive here is different, and the drive there is different. Both are different. Now, if you're going to compare yourself to this person, you're going to go off. He's already mastered it. He knows how to secure himself, how to protect himself, how to guard himself. But have we learned it? We haven't learned it. So for us to compare ourselves with Hazrat Rahman ibn Auf, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, Hazrat Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, that is an unfair comparison. It's not a fair comparison. They learned, they were master snake catchers. They caught the word by the head and they drove it. And do we have the same? We're doing a business deal, for example, right? And you can see now it's 2 minutes for Azan or 5 minutes left for Azan. So we get so caught into the business deals, we just finish this till Ali Ibn Abbas. And the one who is driving the wealth, the one is driven by wealth, the one is driving the wealth, his whole temperament will be different. Said, Salaam alaikum, I'll see you later. One hour's time. What is it? Not something, some emergency, sorry, and I'll see you 1 hour's time. So he knows that now there's 3 or 5 minutes left for Azan. I still need to go to the toilet, I need to make wuzu, then I must be in the masjid in the right state of mind, do my sunnahs, and in the right state. So for that I need at least about 20-25 minutes according to the situation. Someone needs more time, someone needs less time. But for me to be in the right position in the masjid, then I need to be preparing myself at least 15-20 minutes time advance. So I am in the masjid of Minan, I am not in a mental turmoil. And if not, then I am mentally in a turmoil. Physically I am in namaz, but mentally I am in the toilet. I got some need, right? I'm pressed now, I need to go, right? So to get myself in the right state, to get the namaz right, my mind needs to be right. Now this is a person who is driving the wealth. And this is the one that is driven by wealth. So don't you compare yourself to the Sahaba Ikram. Because if you come to the test, then you won't pass it. You won't manage the test. See? So, what we are talking about, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is, what are you talking about? Ji? Yeah. Two things I heard from the elders. One is, the person that is going out to learn one of two things. Learn what? Learn the word, or learn the application. The word is the introduction, and the application is the actual thing. The application of the word is the actual thing, and the word is just to guide you and support you, right? So what's the actual thing? The actual thing is the action. So for example, a person doesn't know the faraiz of namaz, right? But he does all his namaz. Won't his namaz be valid? He's doing it according to the sunnah. His namaz will be valid. But on the other hand, the person knows about the faraiz and the sunnah, but he's not applying it. Is he in a loss? Is he in a problem? So the knowledge is important, but more than the knowledge is the application of that knowledge. Now it's complete. But if he just has the information, he's not applying it. So he is incomplete. And really, he's in a problem. And this person who's applying it all the time, right, he doesn't know the sequence, what is faraiz, sunnah, but he's applying it all properly, correctly. So he is still in a secure position. So now Shaitan's one great effort is to work on this person here. If he's working towards improving the knowledge or working towards improving himself, he'll come and put the spanners in the work, some obstruction of, what is it? You know about it, so what's wrong? You know, when you know about these things here, then what's the need to make an effort? So, this concept I explained to the students many a time, but according to their level, the concept. See, in the times that we are living, that we have to accept that we are surrounded by fitna, different types of fitna. It's in a turmoil, a real, real turmoil. My niece, now she's 45 something. So she comes home one day and she tells me, so you know, once upon a time, there was a black area and there was a white area. We knew what was wrong, we knew what was right. But now, there's such a mix-up, it's so clouded that we can't differentiate the right from the wrong. It's so clouded. So much of clouds, so much of mist, so much of fog. Now we can't make it out. That was a complaint. Now, you're caught up in this type of a situation where it's all misty, it's foggy, right? And you have to save yourself through dear life. You have to bring yourself to the shore of safety. But you're caught up in this situation here. What must you do? So now, the students, you have to give an illustration for them to be able to understand the concept. So I explained to them, you see, when we came here in the 60s, Swinger Beach, so still small, and I liked to learn to swim. Let's get to swimming, how to do it. I said, now instead of going the long road, go to a lifesaver, all that, let me do it myself. Alhamdulillah, it happened. Tried some tricks this side, that side, and eventually got to learn, right? Though not professional, but kaam chal jata hai. Chalti ki naam gaadi, you can do it. So anyway, so in those days we used to speak to some of the lifesavers, because you had a passion for this, so you learn some things from them. So they tell you the different techniques and all that they apply in saving a life. So now, he's explaining, say for example, if it's a person that is in danger, right, and you're the lifesaver. But there are a lot of turbulence in the water. Turbulence, dangerous, shark infested. But now, in the meanwhile, you instructed go and save that life. So what do? So the water is turbulent, shark infested, you have to go and save the person. So they'll tie a belt or something around your waist and they'll rope you to the land, to the shore. So you'll go in to save the life. But the moment you perceive any danger, you'll radio them. Once you radio them, they'll rope you out. So now you have to use exactly the same concept to save your iman, to save your deen. You have to use the same concept. That as long as you're roped to the raw safety, right? You're going now, and you're covered from all four sides, this side here, there's a problem that side. There's something that is enticing you, something that is attracting you here, there, etc. You can fall into a problem. Now, you don't allow yourself a second chance. In the words of Hazrat Muhammad Thani Sahib Rahmatullahi, you don't allow yourself a second chance. For example, the one time you were on the phone and you went to the wrong side. Right? Now, you will not give yourself a chance that the second time I fall, then I'll try and correct myself. Because now that is being foolish. Why is foolish? Because you don't know, the second time that you fall, you may just drown. Then you can't save yourself. So, the first time is the last time. The first time that you made a mistake, now you go and correct yourself. Whatever he tells you, you'll just do it. There you will not listen. Therefore, Allah says that to work with that person is very easy. He's got a clear mind. You tell him something, he'll just apply it straight away. So, now to work in Islamic matters, even in education, Abraham Haqsab says, whether it's education, whether it's tarbiyah. But your senior is telling you something, and you just go and apply it straight away. So to work with that type of a person is very easy, because you've got an open heart, open mind. Mind is open, your heart is open. You want to tell him something, you can tell him, do baat mein sunana hai, to suna sakte hai. But now you don't have an open rapport. See, the rapport has to be open. And the rapport being opened, has to be more from the side of the seeker. Right? He has to open his heart, see it, right? So as he's going to frequent, he's going to come, he'll say some things, you begin to understand the person, right? And he's maintaining a relationship, right? So when your heart is open, then you want to give him, you want to tell him. But now he'll come and say something selectively, what he wants to say, only that and nothing else beyond that, right? So now you begin to understand that this person is not all right. It's all not all right. You're going to tell him something, he's going to pull up his face. Or he'll run away. Or he'll do something. So you have to give him small doses. So that fever that was supposed to be healed in 3 days, it may take 3 years. See, that 3 days, he could have walked out of it clean. But now he is not applying himself how he's supposed to be applying himself. The same thing that was supposed to be 3 days, now it's extended. So you see now this life-saving concept now. Now you have roped yourself, connected yourself to the shore of safety. The moment you have perceived the slightest danger, then you call it on shore. Shore just reel you in and you're out. So easy. So You see, there's two sides, the knowledge and the application. And these things are so, so important that amongst the four or five questions that you will be asked on the day of Qiyamah, before you won't be able to move until you don't answer these five questions. One is your age, how you spent. One is your youth. One is your wealth, how you acquired and how you spent. And number three is about what you learned and how much you applied. So you can't move until you have answered these things. Now these are the things that are so important that it's like preconditioned to your entry to Jannah. So the concern that it requires, have I got this right, have I got that right, this is right or not right. I need to check myself all the time, am I right, am I on course or am I out of course. Because like I say, the road is becoming more and more musty, more and more clouded. It's so musty and so clouded that the ordinary person can't understand, he can't differentiate. See, the Bani Israel, the ulama, how they were, right? So Allah is warning them. Warning them, and he's directing it to the ulama. La talbisul haqqa bil batil. Don't cover the truth with falsehood. See, it's the truth I want to give, but I want to give it to you in such a way that I don't get caught out. See, my idea is not to give you the direction completely, but the idea is not for me to get caught out. See now how it works. So, but that's my idea, that's the mindset, that you can't catch me for something. So I'll have to be very careful in what I say. So now, I'm talking of real situations, right? So see how. So Allah is speaking about La talbisul haqqa bil batil. Don't cover the truth in falsehood. See, you're saying things have become ambiguous, clouded, and the man has not got the right vision. He hasn't got the right, he can't see right. So now, if he's been spoken to about, say, girls and girls' university, high school, etc., right? So now, see the type of answer he will give. Jesus, you're talking about Bani Israel and the ulama, right? So how they will give an answer? They'll give an answer like this. It's such a mess of human resource. How can you just waste it? So you see, now, if someone comes and asks, but why you endorse girls' education? I didn't endorse it. I just said human resource. So she can do it at home also. See now how he covers his tracks. And she doesn't have to learn to become a professor or something else. She can learn at home. But now, see this. لا تلبس الحق بالباطل. You don't cover the truth with falsehood. See, covering your tracks. This morning, one person was here from Overport, so he's telling me that he was at a da'wat, at an invitation. So there were some educated people, educated, learned people, all the business people, educated people. So now the discussion is about unity, right? Now, what should we do? How do we get unity? So the one that is a little bit more deeny educated now, he says, no, you see, everybody looks up at him because of his popularity, etc. So they look up at him. So when they look up at him now, so he wants the attention of all. Wants the attention of this person, that person, and the third person, whether it's wealthy, whether it is professional, whatever. But he wants the attention. So he has to answer this. So now they are questioning about unity and deen. What comes first? Unity and deen. What comes first in order? So now he has to give a roundabout answer. So he can't give a straight answer. Now this is the verse, لا تلبس الحق بالباطل. Don't cover the truth with falsehood. Allah is talking to the ulama of the Bani Israel. But obviously, when Allah is talking to the ulama of the Bani Israel, na'uzubillah, he doesn't have a personal grudge against the Bani Israel. It's not that he hates them. It is their actions that Allah is talking about. So when the whole focus is the action, whether it is your action or whether it is the action of the Bani Israel. So he's addressing you about the Bani Israel, impressing upon you, by you be careful. See, these people here, they went down and they collapsed and they failed. Why? Because of this. They covered the truth in falsehood. That's where they collapsed. See? So now I'm talking to you. Why am I talking to you? I'm talking to you so that you be careful about it. See that? Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah, he speaks about the same verse. He says, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَةٌ. So on the one side, the Bani Israel, they say, we are the friends of Allah Ta'ala. Then, they say, when they are asked to spend out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, so what they say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَةٌ. Because Allah Pak is asking for a loan. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقِدُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Allah Ta'ala is asking for a loan. So now, how they turned it around, they said that, see, we are wealthy, and Allah Pak needs our wealth. See how they turned the whole thing. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَىٰ. Now, we're going to write all this. All this thing is going to be documented. وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَىٰ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. As well as them assassinating Anbiya alayhi salam, 25 to 30 in a single day, Anbiya they put away. See, what heart they must have had, that Anbiya alayhi salam, they put away this in a single day. So on the one end they're saying that we are the chosen, right? Then they are killing Anbiya alayhi salam. But Allah Pak is talking to the Bani Israel of the present day, the day of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you people have killed the Anbiya alayhi salam. Can you see that? He's talking to them. This Allama Qurtubi's kalam, right? He's talking to them, but you people have done this ridiculous cold blood. And you put away Anbiya alayhi salam in a single day. Now the question is that why does Allah Ta'ala direct this to the present day Bani Israel? Why is it? It was done by their ancestry, but Allah Ta'ala is addressing the present day Bani Israel. So now that is very, very important to understand. He says that because the present day ulama, the Bani Israel, they are not condemning the practices of their ancestry. See that? They didn't condemn the practice of their grandfathers. That means they were quite comfortable with that. They saw that defiance, they saw the rebellion, they saw the transgression, they saw the disregard that they had for Anbiya. But they were quite comfortable with that. So Allah Ta'ala grouped them together. Yujji sahaban, thumma yu'allifu bainahu, thumma yaj'alu rukama. So it drives them all. Yujji sahab, it drives them. Yu'allifu, then he puts them together. Fayarkumahu jamiyan, then piles them up. So they all herded, and they become one block after that. See, they all herded together, and they become one block. Why they became one block? Because he did the wrong, and you saw the wrong, and you were quite comfortable with the wrong. Therefore the hadith condemns that. That you, there was a wrong taking place, right? In a casino, for example, there was a wrong taking place. All still wrong was taking place. You were sitting here, and you were not at the casino at the time of the wrong. Right? But you were quite comfortable. It had only been them. Show all of it in the music and whatever other immorality, immoral behavior was there. Had I been there, you know. So kana kaman shahida, you are counted amongst the persons that were there. Although you are sitting here, but you are quite happy and comfortable with that type of behavior. Kana kaman shahida, you will be counted like the one that had actually been present. But now it was a situation you couldn't avoid. It's wrong, immoral, wrong behavior taking place. But you can't just avoid it. See? Like you are in an aeroplane, right? Just an example. When aeroplane, there's wine being served. Women are not dressed rightly. They're behaving incorrectly, right? And see now what happens in a plane. Hostels and whatever, whatever, right? But you just hate that behavior. You dislike it. So you are there. Music is blasting, women are not dressed right, they are not behaving correctly, right? Pork is being eaten in your presence, and you can't do anything about it. You taking the flight, for example, to meet your father in India, for example. And now this is what's happening on the flight. So, you will not be counted amongst the persons that are there. Although physically you are there, but you are averse to it, you dislike it, you hate it. So this Bani Israel of the present day, they support the actions of the past. So kana kaman shahida. See that? So they will be counted amongst them. Now, this is where I see this confusion. See? And you're getting this learned class, and the learned class is bringing about the confusion. See? So now, the question that is put forth, the question is, what comes first, deen or unity? See, now, they put in a question, and they give the answer. It's not that the businessman put that answer, or question, you put in, you're a learned person, educated person in deen, so you putting forth a situation, and then you giving the answer. Listen, all you have to see that both works. What? If you see that, you get both together. Now, man is not being practical, not being realistic. Sometimes you can't. You can't get the both working together. Then what do you do? See, now, when you avoid the question, you're covering the truth with falsehood. You're covering the truth with falsehood. See, no, get the both together. But you'll try to get the both together. Sometimes you can't. Can you put sewage and milk together? Can't put it. Now he wants you to put the thing together and work together. How is it going to happen? Tell me logically, how is it going to happen? Can't. Then the ways of the Anbiya alayhi salam was totally different to this. So Ibrahim alayhi salam saw his father and his family, they all steeped in wrong. So first he admonished them, لِمَ تَعْبُدُوا مَا لَا يَسْمَعُوا وَلَا يُبْصِرُوا وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. Why? Senseless things, what you worshipping? Stones, idols, senseless things, rocks, what you worshipping? So that was the first line. Right. Now the response is, أَتَرْغَبُونَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي. You turning me away from my gods. You showing a dislike, you're showing a disrespect, disregard for my gods. In Arabic, one is رغيبة في, and one is رغيبة عن. رغيبة في, a liking, I took a liking. Right? And رغيبة عن, a dislike. So he's asking, أَتَرْغَبُ عَنْ آلِيَتِيَا إِبْرَهِيمُ. You dislike, you're turning us away from our gods. لَإِلَّ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكُ. Now, if you're going to carry on, one more word, I'm going to put you away. Father is warning him. Right? So he sees now that he's done his work. He's delivered the message. And he's delivered the message also with respect. Ya Abati, Limma Ta'budu. A lot of respect, my dear father, my beloved father. So he didn't say, he didn't just use any word. He didn't say, Ya Abu. He used a word of respect. The Shariat is asking him to respect, so he's respecting. And the Shariat is asking to wish well, so he's wishing well. But you're going to carry on like this, but the kuna li shaitani waliya, you'll be grouping up with in Jahannam with shaitan. That's what happened there. That's going to be the end of you. So to the best of his ability, he tried to work. But now when it comes to this point here, and they're showing a strong aversion, now what's the response of Ibrahim? What does he do now? Now, he says, I came to the end. When I came to the end, and they're not just giving in. So he says now at this point, Salamun alayk. So he's come to them, he's talking to them with respect, and he means to move away, then he's moving away in a dignified God manner. See, as he comes in, he's talking to them with respect. But when he's separating also with respect. See that? Salamun alaykum. Right? Sa'astaghfiru laka rabbi. I have an obligation towards you because you're my father. You're not an ordinary person. You're my father, so I have a duty towards you. So therefore, he is leaving in a dignified manner. See that? He's leaving with respect. He's leaving with honor, right? Salamun alayhi. So I will not end here. I've tried speaking to you, and for some reason you couldn't accept what I'm saying. But I'll go on trying. أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِحَفِيَّ. So I will move away from you, and I'll beg you for your forgiveness. I'll beg Allah Ta'ala for your forgiveness, for your guidance. Forgiveness means your guidance. Right? So Ibrahim alayhi salam at that time did not say, I need to unite, keep everything, the deen and the unity, I need to keep it. Did he say that? If it was, under any circumstance, every circumstance, I need to put things together. Definitely Ibrahim alayhi salam, we couldn't have overtaken him in that regard, right? He would have definitely done that. So he separated himself. And then he openly says, he says it, إِنَّنِي بَرَاءُ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. قَالْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِ I got nothing to do with you. So I'm breaking away from you. بَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Hatred and dislike has appeared between us and you. Hatred. Can you see that? So it is not just loving for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, hating also for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Then does the iman complete, perfect. Man ahabba lillah wa abghada lillah. He dislikes for the sake of Allah Ta'ala and he likes for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And we say, no, Shlangana, put everybody together, everybody, put the suraj, milk, everything together. You make a milkshake, new one. So you put everything together and let it work. So he says, no, you need to separate the issues, right? You can't work like this. So otherwise, the iman is incomplete. Man ahabba lillah wa abghada lillah. He loves for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. If he's separated for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Qad badat al-baghdaw. Adawat wal-baghdaw. See that hatred, dislike has appeared. It's not going to end. Until you don't come online, then we're going to carry on. We're going to go on a different path. We're not going to be with you. Nothing to do with you. Bara'u mimma ta'budun. Right? So he made it clear. وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً. And he didn't leave it just to that point. And he allowed this to be a legacy in his family. That this is the standard that you're going to maintain. Standard that I kept up. That standard you're going to maintain as well. See that? Is not just for the time, for the convenience. So he separated himself. See that he's shown his aversion. He separated himself. He has disliked. So this is called حُبُّ لِلَّهِ وَالْبُغْدُ لِلَّهِ الْحُبُّ لِلَّهِ وَالْبُغْدُ لِلَّهِ. Otherwise, I ask you, are you practicing the hadith? مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَدَ لِلَّهِ. Are you practicing? Both need to be practiced. If you are liking someone for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, we're showing an aversion for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Pak then speaks about him in praise. فَلَمَّا اَعْتَزَلَهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُبُ. When he did this, then we blessed him with children. Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, etc. Then we blessed him with children. So you see that Allah Pak liked him so much. So therefore, in a spirit of honor and respect, Allah Pak says, see, when he did this, فَلَمَّا اَعْتَزَلَهُمْ, when he moved away, then وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ, then did we bless him. So you'll have to show your allegiance. Where does your allegiance belong? Who you want to align yourself with? On this side or the other side? Whose side? Which side? إِنِّي وَجَّهَتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا. So according to the Shafis, it is mustahab to recite this at the beginning of the commencement of the namaz, right? But what you are saying? When you said وَجَّهَتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا, that I turn my face to the creator of the heavens and the earth. Hanifa, dedicated totally on his side. At some point you'll have to say that this is the side. I hold on to this. I'm not mixing up issues. I'm not confusing and complicating issues. I'm holding on to one side. Side that I belong to, I'm holding, and I'm holding very firmly. I'm not playing games. Otherwise, you see, no, unity and deen all must go together. That's complicating issues, confusing them. Normal man, for him, that type of a slogan sounds very nice. You know, deen and unity, everything must be united. Everything must go together. Someone was asking, when a man gets married to a man, what do you call him? Man united. Now you see this silly thing now. I'm talking about this, what happened last night. There was an invitation, and this man comes to speak to me in the morning. That's what happened. He had to be there. And now what's the right thing? He's confused. The man himself is confused. So he had to ask, now what do I do in this type of a situation? My mind is all in a state of confusion. Then one of the audience is asking, all right, which team do you follow? Liverpool? I said, no, Man United. I support it. How can you expect it? The thing is, that whole game that is being played is haram. See, the satar is open or is it closed? Then they say, no, but in India this happened and this Buzurgwara did this one. So that was perhaps in Pakistan. And when it happened in Pakistan, those ulama, perhaps they didn't know exactly what goes on a sport field. They don't know exactly what's going on. They're not Allah Ta'ala to have ilm al-ghayb. In all innocence, so I go and lead them in namaz, right? So in the innocence, they are talking about this. Right? Think, you know, it's just a game now, and they want someone to perform the namaz, so they send these people here to go and do the namaz. Right? So that's how they reason. But now, if the whole picture is brought before them, what happens in a Western crowd, right? Putting men there, women there, indecent activity there, gambling taking place there, music is blasting full swing, every type of activity is there. Right? If that ulama got to know that this is what's going on there, will they say that? They won't give that. Now you just give this number that some ulama sent us there. So you gave that story now. Right? So why you gave the story? Again, you're confusing the truth with falsehood. We were sent there by our ustads. They sent us there, so if they sent us there, so that's sanctioned. So if we come back here and we go to this type of a spot, what's wrong? What's wrong in it? Can you see that? That's the impression that's created in the mind of the common person. He doesn't know what's the activity. I don't think there's an activity that doesn't, the wrong activity that doesn't take place there. Every type of wrong is there. In fact, worse, you know, worse than a club. You're getting a stripper going out. Stripper going out, somebody is a man going out, somebody is a woman going out, right? And the TV camera suddenly, it'll be just focused on that. And the policeman will be behind, right? The policeman is taking a good view of the whole thing, going slowly, so he can have a good view. And then that whole thing comes on television, everybody sees it. But every type of vice is taking place there. And we say, no, but we were sent by our ulama there. But did you tell them exactly what happens now? Did you tell them? So you see, this truth is covered in falsehood. I ask you, you say, no, just maintain unity all the time, maintain all the unity all the time. Let me give you some real situations, right? Real situations. You in a gathering, right? I'm sure a real situation, right? People come and tell you, right? And suddenly now, something goes not right and everybody undresses, all naked, all stripped. Are you going to remain there? Why? You will maintain unity. Yeah? Ittifaq, let's keep ittifaq. Because we faq now, so we must keep ittifaq. Will you maintain that? Then why are you going to move? Why are you going to move away? Then if someone tells you, but you're breaking the unity. See, all we're here, but you have to move away. So you broke the unity. Will you listen to the story? So exactly all this haram comes under the same line. Any haram. See, I showed you now, all stripped as one and the same. I'm talking of a real situation, not hypothetical, right? Right? You came there, you thought it's going to be Muslims and everything's going to be right. Suddenly now, some of the crowd is taking on beer and wine. Are you going to remain there? I will remain, so now maintain the unity. No, I can't just move away, I can't break away like this. What will people think? I'm so broken up, I can't even tolerate any small thing. The guna is treated as a small thing. See that? So will you remain there? You won't remain there. So now, you can think of, extend the same thing onto any other situation. Right? Any other situation, you have to come to the same conclusion. At some point, you have to break away. You have to move away. You cannot say, this is not so bad, not so bad. What is bad then? So I showed you this, I showed you this. Right? Then, if you will move away from a strippy, you will move away from wine, then if there's music blasting in that place, will you remain there? I say, no, but people's hearts are good. I'm talking of real situations where the crowd is then mesmerized. So, no, hearts are good and you can make zikr at some time, you know. So, just tolerate the music. See, this is haram, that is haram. This is wrong, that is wrong. This was prohibited, that is also prohibited. By the same token now, see, one wrong from the other wrong, right? You just come into that area, and you can see now everybody is being cameraed, right? Photos and camera. So I will remain there. If you moved away from the wine, you moved away from the stripper, you moved away from the music, then why do you move? Why do you say now that that photo is not too bad? It's not too bad. So you see this selective attitude and approach. Then one thing will then lead you to the other. One wrong, min jaza'i sayyati as-sayyatu ba'daha. See, the wrong. One wrong will lead you to the next wrong. One wrong will lead you to the next wrong. It will go on. Now, many of us are acquainted with what's going on, right? In the UAE and all that. Right? All are acquainted with what's going on. So that same attitude they had adopted, first it was, for example, photography, then music, then they proud about selling wine and liquor, then all type of women you can find there, loose women, all that type of things. Now the latest last week was a princess now, right? The king's daughter, right? Princess. She could get into a temple, bow down to one of those booths there, and then drink of that holy water while the whole thing is being televised. But you see this, this attitude of, it's not so bad, must have wusat. What word they use? Must have wusat, you know, must be broad-minded. Broad-minded, but from one point to which point now? Now is there anything left on iman? But you see where it comes from. Our Mufsab Rahmatullah was once asked, Basil was bahut tang nazar. You know, they very narrow sighted, what? They're very narrow in the sight. Everything is very strict, they're very strict, narrow sighted. So the Mustafa's answer was, see, Mustafa, Allah gave him that understanding and basirat. So he's not just book knowledge, he's also what's going on, he knows what's going around, right? He says, agar tang nazri se, bad nazri se bad jai, to ye ghanimat hai. It's because of your narrow-sighted. If you are narrow-sighted, right, and the blessings of you being narrow-sighted, you save from looking at bad. Right? It's a blessing. Let me say that. You're narrow-sighted, right? But because of you being narrow-sighted, then you are safe from looking at the things that are wrong. Then isn't that a blessing? All right, you're a little bit strict, right? But because of that strictness, you are safe from that thing which was haram. Right? Then isn't that a blessing? It's a great blessing. See? So the problem is that we're not sitting with this Buzurganati. So, and we're not cared, we're not bothered about applying. Whereas Allah Pak says it very clearly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. You want me to be with you, then refrain, no, do the right and refrain from the wrong. What? إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Refrain from the wrong and do it right. Do it properly. Do the right, refrain from the wrong. Then you'll get me. So there is an area where you have to separate. So there's an area that you have to refrain. There's an area that you can work upon. There's an area that you have to refrain. And there's an area that you'll... So now you have to... Sometimes we are forced to talk about these things here. Because the issues are becoming more and more complicated and confused. And they're becoming confused and complicated. Now, we are becoming like the Bani Israel. Like they were covering the falsehood, they were covering the truth with falsehood, we're doing the same thing. So, like I said, Allah Pak doesn't hate them because they're Bani Israel. They are children of Anbiya alayhi salam. They're worthy of respect. In that regard, they're worthy of respect. But the hate was because of this behavior. This wrong behavior came in. And though they are the children of Anbiya alayhi salam, but then, see, we threw them away. We threw them off. So Hazrat Rahmatullah explained that there are these two areas that Shaitan is passionate about. One is going to correct himself, learn. Right? He was in Jahalat, now he's learning. Right? See, and then the worst part of it is that you're getting that type of speakers to address the crowd. See? Motivational speakers to motivate the crowd. But you got a style of thinking. Then you say, no, it is for it is to bring about unity, right? But that unity is one-sided unity. It's not a unity, it's one-sided. So now, one person is here, right? Not a very popular person. He says, was one of the, in one of those conferences, right? Where they got a motivational speaker, right? Something like Yavar Beg, right? Where they got him to speak. But he's very popular in these circles, he's very popular. But what I'm showing is the confusion that you bring in. And had they only had the concern of answerability, then they would have been different people. But because you don't have the concern, I am answerable to Allah Ta'ala. So you'll just say anything and everything. Adhamwa Yusuf bin Nuri Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. So he's in a conference, in a very high profile, the whole world, ulama, mashayikh, this thing is organized by the government level, right? He's there. And one of the speakers is speaking incorrect. So Yusuf Sawarah addresses the one that is convening the whole conference, Ya Ayyuhar Ra'is. Al-Jim Haza. So just shut his mouth. In simple language, shut his mouth. See that? Now, that is a person that can go to a conference. Not every person. These people are covering the truth in falsehood. They're not supposed to be in meetings. That person could speak out. No, Al-Jim Famahada. Just shut his mouth. Close his mouth. He goes, it's right. But you are sitting there, the wrong is taking place, is being discussed, and you don't bat an eye, then what's the point of you being there? So now you've got a whole conference going on, all educated, learned, right? And they are hosting this, thing. And now you've got a motivational speaker, like Yawar Beg, to come and speak. We don't know where he came from and where he's heading to. That is the type of speaker. So now this person that is relating it to me, he was there, right there. And he's saying now, the essence of what his message was, that you can't rely on this ulama, right? You can't rely on the ulama. But then he's supporting. You see, you make a claim, tarjima, then you give a support. So now that he's supporting his claim. How he supports it? He said, you see, some years ago, they had banned the use of the amplifier, right? That was the ban. They put a ban on that. Not permissible, haram. Although here it's unamplified. Our adhan is unamplified, right? But some years ago, the ulama were banning the use of the amplifier. Now every masjid got an amplifier. They say, you must have it. But now see, what he's getting at, you can't rely on them. Now that's the message that he's been given. Now you got some learned people here. Dini people, learned people, quite popular. And they're giving him an applause. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now you see the confusion that is created amongst the people then. Yeah, man, you can't rely on them. Today is haram, tomorrow is halal, and they just carry on like that. Whereas I read the whole article of Muhammad Shafi Sahib where he said it's impermissible. Then he showed why it's permissible. So I read the article. Now if he was true and honest, he would have not quoted the article because of confusion. You would have been selective. But now you didn't read the whole article, or you just did selective quoting. Now see the confusion you brought. The whole ulama fraternity, you have broken the confidence. Now the man, on one side you talk of unity, but then you are breaking the confidence of the ulama ikram. You can't refer to them, no? So Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib had once upon a time written this article, right? So the article is written based on the facts that were received. If you are telling me, right, that this is a place that is selling liquor, then I will tell you, no, it's not permissible for you to go there. Right? I'm giving an answer based on the information that is received. Right? Understand? I'm giving you an answer based on the information that was received. So he is given an answer based on the information that he received. So now the question was this, that how's the use of an amplifier now? Early, maybe 40s, 50s, around that time. So he went and found out from the experts in these amplifiers and all, that what is the sound that is amplified? Is it the sound of the speaker, or is it the echo that is amplified? So the information that was given at that time was it was the echo. So it wasn't the actual sound that was amplified, not the voice being amplified, but the echo that was being amplified. So obviously now, the echo is not the thing that we follow. Understand? It is not the echo that is followed. So, if you are following that echo, then wulyara must be valid. You're not following the imam now. You're following the echo that is coming, that is reaching you. You're not following the imam, but the echo that is reaching you. See, like it's a big mountain, right? There are some mountains, you go and shout, and there'll be a big echo. So now, you will listen to that echo and you're following. So are you following the speaker, or is following the echo? So that was the finding of the expert that he had referred to, that the echo is being amplified, not the voice of the speaker. So therefore he issued a fatwa that it is not permissible. But later on, the technology improved or something, it was the actual voice that was being amplified. So now then he says, now because the technology has changed, therefore it is permissible. Now you just quote this side and give the impression that ulama-i-kiram don't know what they're doing, right? You're creating an impression that really you can't rely on them. See that on the one side you say maintain the unity, but then here you destroy the unity and there's not a person to bat an eye. Is that the right thing? See. But I'm asking you, you all don't get into this discussion, right? Please. Because you need to have some information, some facts, etc. And you need to be able to grasp it and express it. But if you only grasp it, you can't express it, or you didn't grasp it full, obviously you're not going to express it well. So the Mullah said this, it'll become emotional. It'll cause a fight. Right? Just you refrain from it. Say, no, I don't agree with this. I disagree. I can't get it right. But I'm just moving away from this. Move away from it. Then you can ask the Mullah to correct those people. Because you didn't grasp it full. And if you haven't grasped it full, then how are you going to express it? In order to express it, you need to grasp it full. But you see now the confusion that is brought about. But which class of people? This modernist. See the same Bani Israel, ulama of the Bani Israel, same in extension. So that, like as though that family hasn't died. That family is, the legacy of the family is continuing. Right? So the importance of now holding on the truth. No matter what, who says what. But you know now, this is not right. If it's not right, it's not right. Class, end of the story. Now, you say, no, it's digital, and you make a lot of stories after that. Somehow to get, to curry favor with the crowd, what? Curry favor with the crowd. But this answer, does it hold by Allah? This answer that you're giving, does it hold by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How are you going to answer? Before Allah, how are you going to answer this? Now that is the one area that the shaitan is very keen on. The other area that the shaitan is very keen on, right? One is ilm. I show you what ilm refers to, right? Learning the word and learning the application, that's ilm all about. If you just learned the word, you didn't learn the application, then it's an incomplete job. Learn the word and learn the application. Like I said, qiraat, right? You learn the law and you learn the application. And if you just learned the law but you didn't learn the application through under a guidance of an expert, then you haven't learned it. And nobody will ask you to go and teach a qiraat class. Because you know, he's just done half the job. He will not be able to express it correctly. You begin to read the Quran Sharif, but in a white accent. What? In a white accent. In the day of the English, so the white man is the boss, so he sees one of his top staff. He's in a little bit of worry, you know. So the white is telling him, now his accent is a little bit thick, his tongue is thick, right? So he can't get the things right. So he's talking Urdu, but in a white accent, English accent. So he's telling him that Indian there, tu to mota fakir hai. What? Tu to mota fakir hai. So that even if you say, see, I'm a thin, skral person, so thin like this, and you say I'm mota, mota means I'm fat, right? Alhamdulillah, I got a lot of wealth, and you say fakir, I'm poor. The English, it would translate in English, you're a fat, poor man, right? Mota fakir. So this man is saying, you know what, I'm not fat and thin, and I got a lot of wealth. So now you're saying I'm mota fakir. So no, you are mota fakir. So mota fakir. So anyway, he's carrying on. This Indian is saying, I'm mota fakir. So anyway, he said, all right, get the dictionary. Got the dictionary opened up. So the dictionary was saying, mutafakir. Mutafakir, now this person is giving it in his own accent. Bichara, he says, mutafakir means worried person, concerned person, right? Mutafakir means a fat poor man. See? Now see how you change the whole thing. So I'm saying now that tajweed also needs to be learned under the expert guidance of someone. You can't get it yourself. Learn the law and learn the application. Learn the law and learn the application. Both are important. So the same with deen also, you learn the law and learn the application of the law. If you didn't learn the application of the law, it is half a job. And the application must be learned by someone who is expert, number one. Number two, he's got no interest in material. If you come and ask me, right, masla, but I'm interested in your wealth. So I said, alright, work it all this roundabout, do it round, and get it right like this, right? I'm interested now in your wealth. So, is that right? So, I think it was about 17, 18 years ago. So, these banks, you know, Islamic banks, right? So about three people came, one two white people, and one Muslim person. So they came, said, work it out for us. So we said, no, all this is not right. This is not right, that is not right, that is not right. Again he came, they came again, about five meetings there. Not right. So I remember the white person, his surname was Christian. And the Muslim person that was accompanying them was Samullah. I can't remember his first name. So we showed him all, it's not right, this is not right, that is why it's not right. So some years later, now this mullah met up with another accountant, and that other accountant, they are chatting now, you know, chatting a little bit freely. So they mentioned me, you know, that we went to Mufti Sahab, and we spoke about this, and this is not right. It's not right. It's not right. He says, you know, if Mufti Sahab only listened to us at that time, he would have been a multi-billionaire, you know. He would have had to work for the rest of his life, the rest of his great-grandchildren's life, you know, to work. But now you see, this thing is so tempting. It's so tempting, right? Now this man is from inside and he's telling me now, because we, as though we programmed the whole thing, right? So when he programmed the thing, so every deal that is going through, we're getting a percentage. Now, when we're getting a percentage now, then we don't need to work. Who needs to be working in Talibuddin now from 8 to late? We don't need to work now. Money is just rolling. This time, every year you can just change, every 6 months you can just change a car. So much you're a corpus. But you see how lucrative it is. And how your mouth begins to water when you see this. So the whole goalpost changes from Allah Ta'ala to wealth. From Allah Ta'ala to wealth. It moves. Every man is inclined to wealth. You cannot say that I don't have an inclination to wealth. The best person, but you bring the wealth before him and you will just change the goalpost. So you have to look at the broader interest of deen, not the broader interest of yourself or their business. See, what we're looking at, the broader interest of their business. If you don't do it, then how are we going to run our businesses? How is it going to happen? That's all. But then, you see that, we're talking about that UAE, and when they went into this, just making it easier and easier and easier, now they went right into idolatry, and the whole world is not batting an eye. Everybody is fine. Everybody is fine with it. See now from where? You just drop, and you come right to this point here. Right? Is there anything of Islam besides the name? So the second thing Hazrat Jir Hamdari spoke about, which brings about destruction, right? I told you one is of ilm, right? And the second thing that brings about a problem, right? The shaitan takes a lot of interest. lots of interest, right, is to create friction within people, within families, right? The amount of problems that come up from it. He gave an example now. A man comes home, right? He has a hard day and he's come home. Now shaitan's work is to incite. Inna shaitana yanzawu baina. How he works. His work is to incite, cause problem, friction. That's what his work is all about. So he'll put into the mind of the wife that your husband doesn't worry about you. You know, your need to run the home. He doesn't have a concern. So now she buys that idea. When she buys that idea, so as the husband steps into the house, her face is pulled up. And when her face is pulled up, she says, yeah, you don't do anything for the house. It's only you and your business and your money, that's all. You gotta do nothing. Now you came in what frame of mind, and what has she done? In this just that few words, you don't worry about the house. It is about your wealth. What else are you worried about? We're living or we're dying, you're not worried about it. So that one, two sentences that she gave, what happens to the man? So he also has got a tongue in his mouth. His saliva has not dried up. So he also got some respect and pride about himself. He says, what do you think of yourself? The whole day I'm slogging for you, I'm slaving for you. And this is the appreciation that I got. This is the appreciation that I get. So she'll say, yeah, you got a lot, fat lot to think. You got a fat lot to talk about. You don't have the heart to accept your mistake. See that now? That'll carry on. Shaitan is inciting her, inciting him. Going this side, going that side. Until he reaches the point where he says, alright, hey, you, I'm thick of you now. Enough. Enough is enough. One, two, three, get out. Now, when that happens, Shaitan celebrates. He's got a party on. He's got a big party on celebrating. See? So these are two points that Shaitan works on. Allah Ta'ala guide us through.